Luke 2:8-15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
If a genie popped out of a lamp and granted you 3 wishes, you're supposed to use one of them for peace on earth. It's in the rules. You've got to do it. We'll be very unhappy with you if you don't. We all want peace on earth, but it seems so far away, doesn't it? Our TV screens reveal a world that isn't very peaceful at all. War, division, suspicion and fear of escalation. And smaller scale too. We all want inner peace, don't we? But so often it seems out of reach. Some of us take family photos, a little bit like this one up here, hoping to capture a moment, a brief moment of harmony around the fireplace. Now, one of my Christmas family photos, it's not this one, looks idyllic and serene. But the reason I love that photo is because I know what happened just moments before the flash went off. My elderly aunt, somewhere in her 90s, was looking for somewhere to sit and just plonked herself down on the sofa. But she clearly hadn't looked where she was sitting, because my 99-year-old grandfather cried out, "Oi, that's me," muffled from beneath her. But of course, looking at the peaceful smiles in the photograph, you'd never tell. How different all our peaceful Christmas photos would look if there were thought bubbles like those, revealing what was going on in our heads and hearts. We all want peace on earth. We all want inner peace. But peace always seems out of reach. This talk is about how each one of us can know it. According to the story of Christmas, peace arrived 2,000 years ago with the birth of Jesus. Dana just read for us what the angels sang. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Were those angels kidding themselves? Because where is the peace that they promised? It might, of course, seem like the first Christmas was a failed peace mission. No ceasefires were declared. No peace treaties were signed. There was no supernaturally silent night where suddenly all babies stopped crying. We know that doesn't exist. But God's peace mission to earth achieved exactly what he intended it for. Jesus did come to bring peace, just not quite in the way that we might expect. I'm sure God could have come to declare worldwide harmony there and then. But of course, ceasefires don't last, do they? Peace treaties can be broken, and inner calm is always temporary. So Jesus came to fix the cause of all war. Jesus came to fix the cause of all our inner battles. We know how in global politics, all conflicts seem to be linked. What happens in Ukraine affects what happens in Syria, which affects what happens in Israel, which affects what happens in Gaza. One conflict leads to another, which leads to another and another. And each of those wars has a historical significance looking back too. So we might imagine kind of like a Bayeux tapestry mural going all the way around this room, tracing the timeline of all world conflicts. And if we kept on marking the connected causes back and back and back all the way through time, every single conflict would trace their cause back to one point in history. The moment where humanity made war on God. On the first two pages of this book, the world was in perfect peace. It was bliss. But then we had the great idea that we could do life ourselves better without God in charge. We staged a mutiny. We made God walk the plank so that each of us could be in charge of the ship and say, I'm the master of my fate, I'm the captain of my soul. And obviously, as soon as we gained control of the ship, we sailed it straight into conflict and anxiety and war. That's where it all comes from. Globally and personally, we have no peace because we have no peace with God. That's the ultimate reason for bomb shelters and burglar alarms. That's the root cause of every struggle and sleepless night. It's like there's an impassable no man's land between us and God. And it's really frustrating because there's this perfect world of peace over there. It's bliss. It's enjoying the life with God that we were always made for. But, of course, there's this mine-filled, well-guarded, no-man's land in between. As enemies of God, peace is out of our reach now. And if we die as God's enemies, we'll exist in nothing but hostility forever. However, here's the good news. Here's the news that is so good that an army of angels would descend to sing about it. Jesus was born to make peace between us and God. Wonderfully, though we've made ourselves God's enemies, he still loves each and every one of us. The angels sang, "Peace to those on whom God's favor rests." It's just astonishingly loving that even though all of us have wanted nothing to do with God, we've pushed him out all in our own way, yet his favor still rests on us. When two parties are at war, they need a go-between, a mediator, someone who's willing to cross no man's land and reach out with an olive branch of peace. And Jesus was born to be that go-between between God and humanity. As the Son of God, he could represent the Father. And as a real human being like us, he could represent us. As both God and man, he could bring us together in perfect peace. And crucially, as both God and man, he could represent both as he hung, bleeding and dying on the cross. As God, he could forgive us for all our hostility. And as man, he could die for us, as one of us, taking our blame. There's a little town in France called Neuve-Chapelle. And there's a statue of the crucified Christ. And during the First World War, the battle lines were drawn in such a way that this statue was in no man's land between the two fighting forces. The battle raged around it until, at long last, the fighting stopped. At that point, the people discovered that the building where this statue was largely destroyed. However, the figure of Christ on the cross was still there. The Christ was mutilated. Shell splinters and bullets had torn gaping holes in the figure's head and face. The right leg of the figure was completely gone. The left was blown off at the knee. And there's such real truth to that. The real Jesus was willing to stand in the no man's land between us and God to make peace, even though it cost him his life. He took the blame for all our war, for all our hostility. He crossed no man's land to make peace between us and God. Here are the terms of Jesus' peace deal. Put them up on the screen. No illustration is perfect, of course, but this could be a helpful visual to help some of us take it in. And you can find it on the inside cover of your service sheets, actually, at the back. God agrees to die on the cross to take the blame for all our hostility. God agrees to forgive all our sins. God agrees to welcome us into a world of peace forever. God agrees to walk with us, to give inner peace now. This is astonishing hope for all of us who long for peace. Yes, this world is still a battlefield, but in this peace treaty, there is a world of peace finally within reach. God calls us home to a green country where the scars of war are healed. In that eternal land, there is no room for conflict or worry, for Jesus, the Prince of Peace, reigns there. He will be our peace. And the other half of this peace treaty is what humanity agrees to. Humanity agrees to turn from hostility towards God. Humanity agrees to ask for forgiveness. Humanity agrees to trust in Jesus to make peace. Whether you're a churchy person or not, Jesus holds out this peace treaty to all who turn, ask, and trust. We all get to choose, of course, how we respond to Jesus. He's not going to force anybody to lay down their arms. But if you want the peace that Jesus offers, here's one way you could respond. You might have been a Christian for a long time, but maybe you've recognized that there's an area of your life where you're still acting in secret hostility towards God, still pushing him out in some way. Or this might be your first time here, and you've recognized that, yes, you are still an enemy of God. Either way, you can take that service sheet home and read through the terms of Jesus' peace treaty on that back cover. And if you want the peace that Jesus offers, if you want to lay down your arms and stop pushing God out, why not just sign your name, just between you and the piece of paper, just between you and God? And you might find this prayer helpful as well. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to make peace by dying on a cross. Please forgive my hostility towards you. Please give me your peace, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. This isn't a magic formula, but Jesus has said in his own words, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So it's not really important how you come. What's important is that you do come to Jesus. We are running a discussion-based course called Hope Explored in January. If you do sign your name and you're new to Christianity, that course would be perfect for you to understand more about what Jesus offers. And of course, you can sign up for that online. Let me lead us in prayer before we sing again. Just a short prayer. Lord Jesus, be our peace. Lord Jesus, be my peace. Amen.